Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study on doctrine in the New Testament, and we are looking specifically on Jesus and doctrine, which is the teaching of Jesus, his instruction. We're focusing on Matthew chapters 5 through 7, where we are continuing to look at what Jesus taught, which resulted in the people's response at the end of Matthew chapter 7. That is verses 28 and 29 in Matthew chapter 7. So we're looking at this point, overall, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we are looking specifically at this point at the Beatitudes, where we are continuing to focus our attention on Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We've looked at this and discussed it to some extent, and we are going to continue to take a more exhaustive approach as we discuss or consider all that is communicated in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks of the poor. So in other words, we are not restricting his instruction to just verse 3 in Matthew chapter 5 here. We're also looking at what is communicated in the scriptures concerning the poor, specifically in the New Testament. So as we've talked and taken a look at this up to this point, we discussed what it really means to be poor in spirit here, and we spoke of both the feeling and the circumstances as it relates to the poor. So in other words, this is concerning the poor who are experiencing poverty. And that may sound redundant, but you know, there are other opinions here where it is presented in the context of those who are broken in spirit and who recognize their need for salvation, and therefore they are poor in the sense of realizing that they need salvation and they are helpless and reach out to Jesus for salvation, so to speak. And I just don't see that as it is communicated, not just here in Matthew chapter 3 and in other portions of scripture where the poor are mentioned by Jesus himself, including Luke chapter 6, which is somewhat parallel to what Matthew communicates concerning the Beatitudes. So if you take a look at Luke chapter 6 and specifically verses 20 through 26, I think it sheds a little more light on the context here concerning the poor. So the poor in spirit, this is those who are poor and therefore they are broken, or they feel that they are in a certain state of spirit because of their poverty. And this is what Jesus is highlighting here. And as we've also talked about, the condition of the poor is something that people are often insensitive to. And when Jesus comes, he turns everything around. And what I mean by that is he is not focusing on the rich as it relates to favor or reinforcing their standing, at least their perceived standing, which is to say that they are blessed beyond measure and therefore they are right with God. Jesus is saying just the opposite. He is reaching down to the lowly, to the poor. Again, communicated here is the poor in spirit. And why are they poor in spirit? Because they're poor. And they are certainly ostracized and overlooked and definitely not considered those who are worthy, I say, or deserving of the kingdom of heaven. And so when we consider how Jesus is focusing on the poor and saying to the rich, in at least a few passages, as we considered what Jesus communicated to the rich ruler, give up what you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Jesus is calling the rich to repentance. Now, it's also important to understand that Jesus is also calling the poor to repentance. But here, this has more to do with the fact that there's a perception that the rich are favored and the poor don't matter. And again, Jesus is extending or communicating this promise to the poor concerning their state, their plight, if you will, that despite their poverty, they are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And as I stated before, this is not what you can consider like an automatic bid of sorts. This is, there's still the requirement for repentance and faith, and yet this is available to the poor. Or maybe I should say, therefore, this is available to the poor, inasmuch as the kingdom of heaven is available to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. So the sin problem is real for everybody. But here, what Jesus again is focusing on is the fact that the poor are not outcasts or outsiders from the kingdom. Jesus again is saying just the opposite. The kingdom is made up of the poor. And in this case, identifies them as the poor in spirit. So as we consider what Jesus says here again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, I'll call your attention to what he also says in Luke chapter 6, so that we can understand that he is indeed, he being Jesus, he is speaking of the poor. So here in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 20, Jesus says, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And then when you go down and look to what he says in contrast to this, you'll look at what he says concerning those who are rich. He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 24, he says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." So in Luke chapter 6, what you find is Jesus is lifting up one and he's putting down another. So in this case, he's lifting up the poor and he's putting down the rich. The rich, he says, those who are wealthy, they've received their comfort. They have received their comfort in this life. And this is what Jesus is speaking of. And this is the contrast. This is what makes the kingdom of heaven different. And not just different, but heavenly. and that is, the rich seem to prevail, just as we speak of the wicked. And we'll speak to that as well, because Jesus does in his teaching. But again, focusing on the poor and the contrast that Jesus makes, or the woe, W-O-E, that he gives to the rich in Luke chapter 6 concerning the same thing, then again, this highlights that Jesus is speaking of the poor in contrast to the rich. So the rich feel like their wealth and their riches are life. And this is what we often see again, not just as it relates to the world, but as it relates to those who claim to be favored by God. And again, let's make the distinction between those who claim to be favored by God and those who are saved, those who are caught out of the world and into the light and the glory of the gospel. That is the marvelous light of God. So as we consider what Jesus is communicating again, we need to understand that this is doctrine. This is the promise that Jesus gives to the poor, but the requirement is still a matter of faith. It is a matter of turning from sin. So your sins are not excused apart from your repentance and faith, even if you're poor. And this is the point that I'm making here. But the blessing is that the kingdom of heaven is as much offered to the poor and promised to the poor as it is to anyone else. And particularly in this case, in contrast to the rich. Now, I'm not saying that rich people don't go to heaven, but you got to look at Jesus's words in relation to this, because the rich depend on their wealth and their riches more so than faith in God. That is, their God is their money. And this is often the case, which does not mean, maybe I should not just say often, this is more often the case, which does not mean that the rich aren't saved, that someone who is rich is not saved. And we have in Timothy, in Paul's letter to Timothy, words concerning the rich and how they are to share what they have. And this is not just restricted to the rich. It's a message to all of God's people, which is the direction that we're going to go this morning as well. So as we've talked about the poor, and we've talked about what Jesus promises to the poor, that they are, or they do have an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God. He calls them blessed, and this is the blessing that is extended from the Lord himself. This is a promise from God himself through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is encouraging. But then we talked about the responsibility that we have as God's people, which is to say once again that we don't just tell the poor, hey, you know, you have the kingdom of heaven because Jesus says you're blessed, and therefore you will possess, or you are an heir of the kingdom of heaven. So just sit and wait for Jesus, and we will hold on to and continue to accumulate whatever we're blessed with, and we won't share it or distribute it to the poor. And again, I say primarily the poor among God's people, that is the household of faith first. And I call your attention to the reality that Jesus is speaking to those who are the people of God, those who are considered the people of God, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they understand their responsibility and their obligation. They have just rejected it. That is, they have not done what God requires them to do concerning the poor. And this is something that is spoken of in the Old Testament as well. And I want to remind you, this is doctrine, that this is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an obligation that we have as God's people to listen to what Jesus says and to follow his example. So Jesus has a heart for the poor, and more specifically, he has a heart for the poor among God's people. And he tells us as God's people that we are to have the same heart concerning the poor. We are to minister to the poor, as is pointed out in multiple passages of scripture that we've already discussed. So, as we consider the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 concerning the poor, I want to also remind us of what is communicated in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where the Apostle Paul reminds the elders, where he says to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And the Apostle Paul is communicating this in the context of the example that he demonstrated during his ministry, which is he worked, and he worked not just to support himself, but he worked to support the weak and those who were with him, those who had needs. And he talked about necessities. And I'm going to say that word again, necessities. He spoke of providing for his necessities. And this is something that we are challenged with as it relates even to the people of God. And that's primarily who I'm speaking to as it relates to this responsibility, as well as our perspective when it comes to materialism and what we are willing to give up or share in order to minister to the poor among God's people. And as we consider this, I think we really do need to ask the question if we are receptive to the teaching of Jesus, because Paul just says here, we already see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, what Jesus says concerning the poor. So this tells you about Jesus's heart and our Lord's heart concerning the poor, and that he makes the promise that they will possess the kingdom of heaven. And he is highlighted in Luke chapter 6, once again, where he makes it clear that he is speaking of the poor as those who are experiencing poverty. And he this has to do with poverty, meaning the lack of what you need, okay? Beggars, those who are paupers, those who are poor. And therefore, their spirit fails them because they are in a hopeless state, okay, when it comes to possessions. But then he makes this contrast again and gives a woe unto the rich. This is spelled out and communicated in Jesus's teaching in Luke chapter 6, once again. So when we consider this, we also need to consider and ask ourselves, are we as sensitive as, do we have the heart that Jesus had concerning the poor? And I once again communicate what the Apostle Paul communicates in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where he says, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, where he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we should consider that, not in a way where it's optional, but we should consider that as our responsibility. Not should I give, should I not give, but I have an obligation to give in order to support the poor, to minister to the weak. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want you to really ponder those words, and don't ponder them with the determination that you're going to give a rebuttal to Jesus and you're going to tell him that you just don't agree with what he's communicating. Now, you have every right to do that and to feel that way. But again, I do encourage you to remember that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of all things that we've done. And that includes what we haven't done. So whether we have obeyed or whether we have disobeyed the words of our Lord. And this, again, is primarily and really it is a message for those who claim to be believers first and foremost. So when we think about giving rather than receiving, and understanding that the Lord here is speaking of the poor, and when we consider the words of the Apostle Paul to remind us of the words of our Lord, that it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive, then we are accountable for obeying what the Lord communicates. And then I want us to consider, as it relates to the poor and what the scripture says about the poor, we've sort of walked through some of the scriptures and taken a look at what is communicated, again, specifically in the New Testament. I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That is such a beautiful testimony, considering or concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read it again because it's a beautiful example that points out to us how Jesus demonstrated his love for us and how we are to demonstrate this same love for one another. And you say, well, love isn't in here. Well, love is demonstrated for sure. And again, it's demonstrated through his willingness to become poor for our sakes in order that we might be made rich. So he gave up his riches and became poor in order that he could take us from our poverty into the riches that he rightfully has. So this is what Jesus did. And this is the example that we have. And this is why Jesus can say to the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How can he do that? Because he owns it. He's the king of the kingdom. He is the king of glory. He is wealth beyond and rich beyond measure. And this again is the riches. This communicates the riches of heaven. Heaven is real. The kingdom of heaven is real. God is real. God's promises are real. The Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching, his instruction, what he says, that the scripture says also in Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul communicates it in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, where he says, all of God's promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. And this is what we have. So what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, concerning the poor, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes and amen. It is a truth. It is an eternal truth. It is a promise that is communicated by the Son of God himself. And he demonstrated his love and his willingness to save the poor, that is us, in a greater sense, because for our sakes, he became poor in order that we might be made rich through his poverty. And this is what he calls us to. And concerning our love and our willingness to give and to share, to distribute is the term that is used as well for the poor saints or to the poor saints. And again, I'm speaking primarily of believers. And this is something that the church must not take lightly. And we must recognize that it is a part of our responsibility because it is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to look at verses 7 through 11, and I'll continue reading from the King James translation here. And it says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So he speaks of giving. And a lot of times we hear this communicated as it relates to tithes and offerings. And this is not about tithes and offerings. This is about an offering that is collected for the saints. And this is for those who lack, those who have a need. This is not for those who run up the credit, those who are irresponsible in their spending. This is not for the con Christian, as it were. And yet, even so, if we do have the opportunity to give, even though at times it does result in abuse, then we still have the responsibility, as much as we have the opportunity, to care for the poor among God's people, especially. So as we continue to look at what's communicated here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's not grudgingly or of necessity because God loves a cheerful giver. So listen, if you're not giving it out of a cheerful heart, if you're not giving it cheerfully, then keep it. Because this is what is explained in the next verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. You see how this works? The Lord provides all of what we need to do what is pleasing to him, in this case, specifically concerning the poor. So always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What is the good work? Ministering to the needs of the saints. Caring for one another as God's people. I say again, as God's people. The church is not a social service office. That is an institution that is established, again, as part of the world, as part of the institutions. And listen, some of us have partaken of that. I remember being on welfare and food stamps and government cheese and powdered milk. So listen, that has its place. But when we speak of God's people and the responsibility that we have for one another, the government institution does not trump the responsibilities of the church concerning the church. And let me say that again. The government institution does not trump or replace the responsibility of the church concerning the church. And now churches have become so commercial. We become so intertwined with the ways of the world, and not in a shrewd and wise way, but we become so intertwined in an advantageous way. That is to say, and for things that we don't necessarily need, we become business partners, if you will, rather than doing business smartly with the world or while we are in the world, even though Jesus, again, has called us out of the world. Concerning our standing, it's important for us to understand that this is not a co-op effort, as it were. We have a responsibility that God has called us to, and this is true regardless of what the world is doing. So as God provides sufficiency in everything for us to do the good work that he's called us to, it says here in verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. That's the giving. He hath given to the poor, specifically to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. It is the evidence of righteousness. Giving to the poor. Sharing is the dispersing abroad. That is how we share. You don't hold on to all that you have. And again, this is in relation to what our Lord promises and communicates in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 concerning the poor, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But the church has a responsibility as those who are joint heirs of the kingdom of heaven with the poor. We have the responsibility. So as we continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it goes on to say in verse 10, as we just looked at, the evidence of our righteousness is our willingness to share, to disperse, to distribute, to give to the poor. Again, specifically among God's people. And then in verse 10 here, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Okay, who provides the seed? The Lord does. He that ministereth or provides the seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he provides what we need and we share. And this again is the increase or the demonstration of the fruits of our righteousness. So the Lord gives us more opportunities, in other words, to bear the fruit of righteousness through our willingness to give, to share to the poor. And then it says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So our benevolence, our willingness to give, to share, results in thanksgiving to God. The glory is not ours. The glory is the Lord's. So we will stop here today, and I hope that, again, that we are taking this to heart, because it is the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning the poor, And if you are poor, I want you to be encouraged despite your circumstances, because Jesus has given you a promise that no man can take away. But you've got to turn from sin, place your faith in him, and wait on the Lord. In the meantime, the church has a responsibility to care for those who are the children of God, specifically those who are of the household of faith through Jesus Christ. Until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.